Psalm 18. Let's read a couple verses here this morning, and then we'll try to pick up where we left off last week. Let's read verses 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Flip over to the end of the chapter, verse 46. The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent men. Verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, and to David, and to his seed forevermore. Last week we finished up, we finished, in a sense, the first part of praise for deliverances in our outline, and that was the first three verses, and then we moved over to the end of the chapter, because if you remember what I said, that the psalm and song of David begins with praise and it ends with praise. And we use the illustration, it's kind of like two bookends, the praise on the one end and praise on the other end, and then how we kind of use that as an example of our lives, as from the moment of our salvation, we should begin with praise. And when we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we should also have praise for the Lord on that end. And therefore, if we've got praise on both ends, we ought to have praise in the middle. And we see throughout this psalm that David is praising the Lord. He's going to get into explaining a few things, and we will probably get into that today about some of the things that he went through, but how the Lord sustained him and how he praised the Lord through them all. And we said that we started on number two, and that's praise in the ending of David's song, and that's in these verses here, verse 46 through 50. We talked about the first point in that, and that was the sovereign in the praise. The fact that he says, the Lord liveth, blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. We're not going into all that, but we ended up over in Psalm 57, where the verses there pertain to the words, be thou exalted, and how we should exalt the Lord, and how praise for him exalts him in our lives. You know, we can praise him in song. Actually, David is praising him in a song here, and we certainly can praise him as we sing. We sing biblical songs, scriptural songs unto the Lord. We certainly want to praise him and lift him up. Many times, as we get, you know, further along, and not necessarily further along, they've been out for a while, but there's certain songs, and I like to listen to good, godly Christian music, not contemporary Christian music. But, you know, you can, if you pay attention to the words, sometimes that song may just make us kind of feel good. And if you really think about the words, though it may seem okay. I'm not going into a big long thing here of music, but I've heard some things. I kind of pay more attention the older I get to some things. But pay attention to the words of a song sometimes, because sometimes you're like, man, that really helps me. But is it just about me? Is somebody just woe is me, and the Lord's going to help me, and I know it? or is it exalting him? Sometimes our songs are just about us. They're not about him. Our songs should be about him and what he's done and how we can lift him up, or as the Bible says there in verse 46 and in the verse, it says, let the God of my salvation be exalted. And over in Psalm 57, it talks about him being exalted. John chapter 3 and verse 30 says, John said of Jesus when he come to him, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Folks, we must exalt the Lord in our lives if we want our lives to bring praise to him. We'll move on to the second thing about the praise in the ending of the song, and that is the salvation for praise. We find that in verses 47 and 48, where it says here, it is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies, yea, thou liftest me up above all, above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Salvation for his praise David offers here in these verses. We find David praising God for avenging him. David knew that God was the one fighting for him. Therefore, he praised God for his salvation and for his deliverances. Many times we try to fight fights on our own. We try to think, well, we can handle this. We can do this. Yeah. But folks, if we're really, truly dependent upon the Lord, which we should be, we realize that it's the Lord who fights for us. He's the one who avenges us. David, though I've said many times here as we go through the Psalms, that we are not in the same exact predicament as David was in, but yet I try to apply things to our lives today, and there's many things in our lives that though we might not be faced with that threat of death or something like that right now, the fact of the matter is God can deliver us from whatever it is that is has come about us. Turn over to Romans. Read a couple verses there. Have to do with avenging. Romans and chapter 12. Book of Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12 and pick up in verse 18. Let's go back to 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's like letting God take care of things. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man, verse 17, no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. See here, Paul writing here in the book of Romans, and he says here that vengeance is mine, not Paul's, but the Lord's, he's quoting here, and the Lord will take care of it. David knew that God would deliver him. He knew that the vengeance belonged to the Lord and that he would do such things. Verse 20, therefore, if any man hunger, feed him. If any thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's better It's always better when the Lord takes care of our enemies, folks. When we can do like David did and realize that it's God who's the one who avenges us. He's the one that will take care of our enemies. Whatever those enemies may be in our lives, let God take care of your enemies. And when you do that, you'll be able to praise him. Again, this song, psalm is about praise. And when we can lift up the Lord and praise him like David does, David's an example for us. And as we go through things, realize that we need to keep singing for the Lord, need to keep praising him. Number three, we see the speaking in the praise. That's in verse 49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. I see two things about this verse here. David praises God in two different ways. The first thing that I see that he does here, that the way he speaks the praise to the Lord is he speaks it in thanksgiving. He says, therefore what? Because of the things before this, not just back to 46, but all throughout this chapter, he says, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. What a way to praise the Lord, to give him thanks for what he's done in our lives. He says, I will give thanks unto thee. Giving thanks to God shows gratitude for what he's done. Praise for the Lord shows thanksgiving as well. It's many ways that we can praise the Lord, but in just like David, you and I can praise him in thanksgiving. You know, it's coming, we're in November already. Not sure what happened to September and October, but they are going, and we are in November. Pastor's already had one Thanksgiving. We're going to have one the 14th. And then, no doubt, on Thanksgiving Day. So he's going to be a stuffed turkey. We'll make sure, sister, we'll make sure you get some pictures. Because he is going to be a stuffed turkey till we get all this done. But we're in that season of Thanksgiving. And, you know, I'm not going to go into the whole history of Thanksgiving in our country here, but we're one of the few countries that have that. I believe it originated here. I do know that they have one in Canada. It's earlier. But nonetheless, it's a season of Thanksgiving. And I've always said this, that it is my favorite holiday, if you want to call it a holiday. There's many reasons, but one of the reasons that I like it is we get to spend some time with family that we don't always see. We usually do that, and we get to be thankful for what the Lord has provided for us. Not just that meal, but you get to kind of reflect back on the things of the past year and how that the Lord has provided, and you're thankful for that. And this may not be the most important reason, but I like it. You don't have to give no presents, you know? Amen. You don't have to go out and spend money, even that you don't have. But, I'm not trying to downplay Christmas, because Christmas should be about Christ, and no one ever said that we had to go out and buy Christmas presents, but somehow or another that's how it works. But I enjoy Thanksgiving, and those things, that I mentioned there. But you know, we can have Thanksgiving every day with the Lord. We should be thankful. I try to, in my prayer life, I try to start out with Thanksgiving, no matter what those needs that I may have or request. I always put them down the list a little further and start out with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to the Lord for, first off, for saving my soul. Yes. And for working in my life, giving me a, a wife, a family. Give me a church, a pastor, and just giving me Jesus. Because without him, none of it's possible. But it's a form of praise, folks. We can praise him in thanksgiving. David said here, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord. He's going to give thanks, and that's a way of David praising the Lord here in the end of this psalm. He's speaking, the speaking and the praise, he's speaking in thanksgiving. There's also a second thing I see here in this verse is that the speaking of the praise is in his testimony. It says here, O Lord, among the heathen, let's just read the whole verse. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. I see that the praise that David's offering up here is in thanksgiving as well. David praises God in public, and they can hear him. We should not be afraid to praise the Lord, even in public. I know many times we'll kind of shy away. We're not in church. I would say, it's not as easy. But yet, we shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord. We shouldn't be ashamed to pray. Pray for our food. Pray for others. But just to sing praise to him. Everywhere you go, there's some kind of music blaring. You can't go to the to Food Lion or Weiss or anywhere without something. And there's something that it's in our workplaces. There's music, and music, like it or not, is a form of praise, whether it's good music or bad music. It's praising something. It's either praising man or it's praising God. And it's everywhere. And I've worked with some of the roughest characters. And every now and then you'd hear, I remember a guy I worked with years ago, rough as a cob. And that old fella, he just light up singing a little bit of a song. And I'm like, do I do that? Do I sing for the Lord? Do I light up into a song of praise for him? This guy wasn't ashamed of his ungodly music. Why should I be ashamed of the Lord and praising him? It's part of David's testimony, his praise for the Lord. You and I have a testimony. If we know the Lord as our Savior, we have a testimony. Folks ought to know. Folks ought to know that we're not game, so to speak, with the world's music. It's not our music. And, I've faced it many places. I face it where I work now. And I try my best to tune it out, but you can't get away from it. And there's been times where I've been there alone and I turn it off. And as soon as certain people get back, they're like, what happened to the music? And they want to turn it back on and then talk to you. Tracy, they do that. They turn the music on, turn it up, and then talk to you. I just purposely talk a little quieter so that they can't hear me. And then they'll turn it down. Again, it's our testimony. What we listen to, what we do, what we say, what we sing in public, what we pray. Our testimony and David's testimony here, you've heard this said before, but it's good, may be the only Bible that the world ever reads. Some people that we are around, rub shoulders with every day, our testimony and our witness may be the only Bible that person ever reads. And I'm to this I believe this in my life. Pastor spoke of the young ladies that came or come a couple Wednesday nights, and then I believe it was last Sunday morning they showed up. That's not coincidence. They've been drawn. I don't know what's drawn them. I do believe I know what's drawn, and that's the Holy Spirit. But there had to be something. There had to be something, preacher, that made them think, that made them move to come here. You just don't come to Pioneer Baptist Church just because it's another place to come to. You know, things probably look much more glamorous next door, I'm sure. I've never been in there, but I'm sure there's much more attraction there. But it's not good attraction. But yet something drew them. It may be somebody that in their family, maybe it's somebody that they work with that's been a testimony and a witness to them. That they've seen a difference in folks. I'm not going to mention names just because of the situation, but you may be able to put two and two together. That doesn't matter. Emma's been working some part-time work down here at Mountain Gate, and there was someone there recently in this past week that thought that she didn't like them because of some of her family was associated with this church. And Emma had to talk to her and say, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to avoid you. It's not that I don't like you. That has nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. And I got to thinking about what, as she explained it to us, what was going on, and I thought to myself, preacher, what a way. This young lady that Emma has contact with has been influenced by a bad testimony. A bad testimony. And that young lady needs to be saved. What if God turns that situation around and saves a daughter? Just need to pray. But what am I getting at? I don't want to go into all that. I'm not, again, putting out names there. But testimony. It's their testimony. It's Emma's testimony at work. It's each and every one of us' testimony, wherever we may be. Those around us, folks, don't ever forget that they're watching. Oh, so closely. I got guys that I work with, especially the family that I work for, that, again, with this new job, I worked there 15 plus years ago, and so I spent about 5 years there, and so they remember my testimony from back then, and they see my testimony now, and thankfully, I don't think that anything was said or done in the past that would harm it, but you know, I went to this place, and whenever there's a new hire, you usually hear about them before they come in, and I have had a couple people say to me, a couple of those guys that are rough, they'll be in a conversation amidst several of us, and one fellow, I've heard him say this a couple times, I'm not going to say what I want to say while you're here. You know what that is, Wyatt? I've got a testimony. And as rough as he is, he's got respect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so whatever was said before I came back this time, there's some folks that know. And I don't browbeat guys into making professions of faith. I try to live my life for the Lord and stand out and be different in a good way and be a good testimony. David had a good testimony. He says here, therefore I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. David was thankful, and he had a testimony among the heathen that he would live for God. He knew, David knew, and this was long before that phrase that I said ever come about, I'm sure, that we might be the only Bible that some folks ever read. Fourth thing here we see about this is the singing and the praise. We see that in verse 49, the end of that verse, where it says, and sing praises unto thy name. He said, I will sing praises unto thy name. Singing praise to the Lord is the best music that the world will ever hear. I've kind of touched on this already. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But I thought about a song I believe Brother McBride used to sing here years ago, where some of the words of the song are, God wants to hear you sing when the waves are all around you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear you sing. He wants us to praise him no matter what we're going through, folks. David gives testimony throughout this whole psalm. It's kind of long. It's, you know, 50 verses. But don't get lost in it. Think about it. Think about him singing praise to the Lord. God wanted David to sing through all that. He wanted him to sing through those times when Saul was chasing him down. You know, things kind of looked up for David. Look, they just kept climbing up there for a little while. And then when he got there with King Saul, and once Saul had messed up and he knew that David was the one to take his place, he wanted to take David out. And David spent many years running from the acts of, so to speak, of Saul. And he wanted to take him out. But yet, through that all, even though it seemed to be dark and despairing and everything else, God wanted to hear David sing. And David, here in what I believe is probably the later years of his life when this was written, is singing and praising God through it all. I've been in contact a little bit with Brother Mike back and forth, and I have run across a song every now and then and send it to him, or he'll send me something. And all I can say is he's still singing. Oh, he's hurting right now, but he's still singing. And everyone knows, if he could be, he'd be sitting right here. He's sitting right here, singing to the Lord. It's been a blessing and a testimony to watch him and just watch how God's worked in his life over these years, and he's still praising him. The last thing we'll see here, and we'll be out of time, about the ending in the song is number 5, and that's the summary of the praise, where David just kind of wraps it up here in verse 50. He says, great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, and to David and to his seed forevermore. This praise summarizes all that God has done and will do in the matter of deliverance for David in his life. This whole psalm is just kind of a poof. It's kind of a David's life in a nutshell, so to speak. And David is saying here, that the Lord gives great deliverance. He's given it to his king. That was David. And he showed mercy to his anointed. David was anointed of the Lord. It says, to David and to his seed forevermore. It's not just yesterday. It's not just today, but forevermore. The Lord brings great deliverance to his people. Folks, if we were to praise the Lord the way that we should, seeing the great deliverance that he's given us will not be hard. Just look around and see what he's done and thank him for what he's done. We'll pick up next week back in the first part of the chapter and get into what's between the two bookends and see what the Lord has to say.